It is hour number two of Midday with Trey and BK. Coming up this hour at 12:50, we cross talk with Rod Babers ahead of the Rodcast from 1 to 3. And shooting the bull at 12:30, it's the latest edition of Brad Kellner's Parental Advice of the Week. And in mere minutes, we're talking to Hollywood legend William Shatner. I'm Trey Elling, Brad Kellner across from me. Dylan Fry behind the glass today as Adam Wagner is still recovering from a sickness. Specs text line is 337-3776, although that may not do you much good right now because our lines are down.
I'm trying to read these burgers, man. It's National Cheeseburger Day. I need some recommendations, and I'm not getting them.
Hopefully, we are able to get to those eventually this show, BK. And you can also give us a follow on Twitter. While you're at it, he's at Brad Kellner. I am at Courtesy Wave. Let's go right to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Welcome William Shatner to the show. William is a Golden Globe and Emmy Award-winning actor whose works include Star Trek, The Practice, Boston Legal, T.J. Hooker, and Third Rock from the Sun. He's also a philanthropist, a musician, father, grandfather, husband, Canadian, and author. And he's got a new book out, Live Long and What I've Learned Along the Way. It's available now wherever books are sold. William, thank you so much for the time. How are you doing today?
So well. Looking forward to talking to you.
Well, Bill, you've written a lot of books, more than 30 that I counted, and this is the 10th nonfiction title in your catalog. What separates this one from all the others?
Different title, actually. things happen along the way. A book gets written, and then your life goes on, and more things happen. New events, new ideas, new concepts, beginning of the understanding of life and what its meaning is to me, and maybe that have some meaning for you.
As you just mentioned, this is a very reflective book. Is there something you consider to be the biggest crossroad of your life? And did you experience some sort of epiphany to help show you the way?
No, for me, it's been a gradual accretion of knowledge and facts and opinions and slowly come to some conclusions that make sense to me. The premise of the book is that you're totally different than I am, and what's happened to me and what I've done advertently or inadvertently for myself isn't necessarily a lesson for you, but all I can do is say this is what I did in that situation, and if it works for you, good. If it doesn't, then do something else. I don't see how I can advise you or anyone else listening to you that what's good for you. All I can do is say this is what worked for me.
William, we've mentioned that you've written numerous books over your lifetime, and I'm just curious, what do you love so much about writing? What inspires you to keep putting out more and more books for fans out there?
Well, I've written fiction and nonfiction, and the idea of using words. I love words. I love the. I had a granddaughter not so long ago ask me why do I use so many words? And words are like painting. Subtlety of color, subtlety of texture. Words can infinitely give you a variation on feeling and information.
Talking to William Shatner, actor, of course, also an author. The new book is Live Long and What I've Learned Along the Way. William, you get into your childhood a little bit. What's your most vivid childhood memory?
Struggling for existence, fighting. The kids in school, having to battle my way to and fro.
And you also talk a lot about a loneliness that existed from your childhood onward. Have you found yourself less lonely as you've gone through this life? You're in your late 80s right now. Do you feel less lonely at this point?
Family and friends, yes. Now that I've settled down in one place and have made a life for myself, certainly is less lonely. But loneliness is also loneliness of the spirit. You can have people around you and yet still be alone, and that's a condition I think never goes away.
You're clearly very good at what you do. Is there a credo or set of principles that you live by to ensure you're putting forth the best effort possible with your acting, music, and everything else that you do?
I think, like athletes that I've read about and seen, preparation, work as hard as you can in preparing for whatever it is you're doing, whether it's getting yourself in condition, if you're an athlete, and even getting into condition if you're not an athlete, so you've got your body in as good a shape as you can, and then informing yourself about whatever it is you're doing. Preparation for your endeavor is critical.
You're also a big believer in saying yes to opportunities, which of course often requires stepping out of your comfort zone for the sake of personal evolution. What's the best example of you doing so in your life, and what was the outcome?
Well, here, for example, this next few months, I've got an album of country music out there right now, Why Not Me? It's called, with Jeff Cook of Alabama. I've got an album coming out in October, a Christmas album called Shatner Claus. This book, of course, Live Long and dot, 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 that ellipse dangles in front of everybody to make themselves better. I've got a tour of a film, The Wrath of Khan. If you go to WilliamShatner.com, you'll see where that tour takes me. I'll be at a city near you. I've got a tour of Australia coming up, and a large variety of things that I'm doing with horses and dogs and the rest of my life. So I'm busy.
I love to hear that, Bill. And I want to hear about your Christmas album. I saw you tweet this out last week. Shatner Claus, it's available for pre-order now on Amazon. Just a little tease for what to expect on this Christmas album this year.
Well, the album I'm very proud of. I think it's I've been struggling with the idea of fusing words with music, and the albums that have come before are attempts to doing that, and I've been somewhat successful. I'm more successful in these two albums coming up. The Christmas album takes traditional Christmas songs and bends them a little, interestingly. I also anchor the album in two major pieces. One is a poem by a wonderful poet who is a veteran from Afghanistan, and he writes about Christmas. What's Christmas doing at home when out here in battle it's not like that? And I put music to it. I put music to the Christmas story. So those two major pieces in the album anchor the album, and then there are all these wonderful Christmas songs that I add a different touch to, and making it a really interesting piece that you will enjoy listening to and you will have an opinion on.
Look, you're an accomplished musician. You've put out albums of originals and covers for more than 40 years now. You're actually responsible for one of my all-time favorite covers, Common People, by The Pulp, that you actually did with the band. This new album includes doing a number of Christmas classics with musicians like Brad Paisley, Todd Rundgren, Billy Gibbons, Iggy Pop, and Henry Rollins. I bring Henry's name up because I heard him on Joe Rogan's podcast a few weeks back. Much like you, he considers himself to be a loner, but he also said that you're one of his few friends. How did you and Henry meet, and why does that friendship work so well?
I've forgotten. I think we probably met on his show when we connected on, I was doing an interview with him, and then I've interviewed him, and then he's one of the more interesting human beings in the world, and he started coming up to the house, and Monday Night Football brought us together, and we've become buddies over the years, and he goes out alone with a camera and talks to people, and then lectures. I mean, he has a strange and weird and eventful life that I'm a small part of, but he's one of the more interesting individuals I've ever met. And that interest apparently is reflected by him to me, and we've gotten along so beautifully and have many stories to tell about things that we've done together.
William, I'm just curious, you know, when you were starting your acting career and just your career in general, were there any people that you used as inspiration that you looked up to, or perhaps just throughout the course of your career, do you have role models or people who inspire you to keep going even to this day?
No, I keep hearing about role models and people who help people and giving them a hand up and mentoring and all that. I've never had that. It's been a struggle that I've had to make by myself figure out how to do, what to do, and sometimes not even figuring, allowing the fates to guide, to push me in the directions that I'm supposed to go in. No, I don't have any of those things I look to. I have had to look to myself.
Talking to actor William Shatner, he's also an author and a musician. The new book is Live Long and What I Learned Along the Way. Now, you did a one-man show for several years. That included a run on Broadway. Is it true that you literally crapped your pants during the very first performance on opening night? And how is that
a testament to
your determination?
I was opening on Broadway. I had the stomach flu or something, and I had to say to the audience, we've had a technical difficulty, and I raced up to my dressing room to change my garments.
And how is that a testament to your determination to do the best job you possibly can?
How does that affect it?
You had talked about in the book, sir, you had talked about how you weren't feeling good leading up to that, but you're like, screw this, I'm committed to this. This is something that I plan on following through on. And for me, just reading those words, it just was a true testament to you making sure something happens that you commit to.
Well, that's the truth. If you say you're going to do something, the mental set, I don't think of it as a credo or anything like that, but the mental set is, if you're going to do something and you say you're going to do it, you better do it for your own sake.
I want to ask you about something, Bill, that is a big passion of yours that I'm guessing you're probably not going to get asked enough about on this media tour for Live Long and What I've Learned Along the Way. What is the Hollywood Charity Horse Show, and how can people listening get involved?
I've run a charity for the last 30 years and raised gradually in $300,000-$500,000 amounts for 30 years for children and for veterans. If your audience goes to WilliamShatner.com, I'm on tour with the Wrath of Khan in the States. You'll find out dates where I will be. You'll find out how to contribute to this charity that I've been running for children and veterans. My life is an open book on WilliamShatner.com.
And you're actually here in Austin on January 12th at the legendary Bass Concert Hall. It's a fantastic venue to watch Wrath of Khan. There's a conversation happening with Bill Shatner afterwards as well.
And that's right. I'll come out on stage, and the audience and I will have a great time. So you'll see a wonderful film, and then you'll have a good time with me afterwards.
Love hearing that. William, I want to ask you about the story that you one time sold a kidney stone for tens of thousands of dollars to raise money for the Habitat for Humanity after Hurricane Katrina. Do you mind talking
Right.
You mind talking about that for a little bit?
Well, I passed a kidney stone and talked about it, and then a gambling company who can't advertise by law but do promotions called me and said they would give me, I've forgotten how much money for my kidney stone, and I countered by saying I wanted $100,000, and we finally arrived at $75,000. I was doing Boston Legal at the time, and the Boston Legal group raised $25,000. We had $100,000. I gave it to Habitat for Humanity, and it bought a house for a family that's now living in it in the New Orleans area.
Wow, that is incredible.
Awesome.
Regarding the book, William, you spend the final chapter focused on death. Does death scare you at all, and how do you want to be remembered after you've taken that final breath?
Well, maybe this interview will be my tombstone. I don't know. It'll be the book itself says we're all individuals, and we assimilate things individually. Passing will be mourned separately by each individual. How it will be done will be dependent on what you think I did during my lifetime.
You mentioned the screening for Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, followed by the conversation about the film. That's here in Austin on January 12th at one of the great venues in town, Bass Concert Hall. That movie is nearly 40 years old, while the TV series is more than 50 years old. Does it ever surprise you that Star Trek is still has such a massive cult following?
It is absolutely astonishing. I've been asked to receive the award, the Emmy Award for this great show next week. So I'll be accepting it, and my acceptance speech will acknowledge the fact that there are people who are here and people who have passed, people who are known and people who are unknown that contributed to the phenomena that is Star Trek.
Last thing, William, and we appreciate the time today. Do you mind cutting a liner for us? This is something that was actually started by the legendary Ice Cube several months back, and we would love to be able to include your legendary voice to this project.
Go ahead.
This is actor William Shatner, author of the new book, Live Long and What I've Learned Along the Way. You're listening to Trey and Mother BK.
Trey and Mother DJ?
BK, like Burger King.
Oh, BJ.
BK like Burger King.
BK.
Yes, sir.
Okay. This is actor William Shatner. I've authored a new book of what I've... Hey, everybody. This is William Shatner. I'm the author of a new book, Live Long and dot, dot, dot. You figure it out and read the book. You're listening to Trey and Mother BG. Great listening, great reading. Do it.
Thank you very much, sir. We really
awesome.
Appreciate the time. It's a fantastic book. I had a chance to read it over the last week, and I highly recommend it to folks, as well as getting out there on January 12th to check out The Wrath of Khan, followed by a conversation with you. Thank you so much, William Shatner.
Thank you, sir.
So much. Bye-bye.
Have
Take
a great
care.
One.
Oh, how about that? William Shatner struggling with the BK nickname.
It's two letters.
BJ,
Bill. It's
BK,
two letters.
BG.
What am I, the BGs? He started calling me the BGs after that. I'm trying to stay alive,
I
Bill.
I think I can edit that one down to actually get a clean version of it, too. So we'll see if we have to add that to the list of celebrities who give us a little bit of a shout-out at the end of an interview.
Fun conversation. Man, he started cracking up in the middle of that liner, too. That was good stuff right there. All right, we're taking a break. When we come back, we skipped over. We're having some technical issues for you folks trying to listen on the app or online. We're having some issues. I guess the car accident or the semi-truck that knocked over some power lines this morning might have caused some issues. I assume they're doing some work out there. That, of course, happened right around our area, and a lot of you were stuck driving through that this morning. So apologies for that. We're still on over the radio, though. We'd love for you to tune in if you can. Coming up next, a little Where Are We At in Society and some Shooting the Bull. That's on the Midday Program. Trey and BK, this is The Horn.
Back here on Midday with Trey and BK, you said we had one emergency bed because our systems are all down right now based on the power lines that were knocked down on B Caves Road that have caused all sorts of issues here in town today. I thought you were going to go with some sort of clown song. You went with Gary Clark Jr. here as the emergency bed.
Oh, yeah.
Well done.
Well, I can't take credit for this. Like the guy who produced before me, it was Matt. This was like, he had this song already saved and ready to go.
Perfect.
If it was my choice, it'd be like some dirty rap song from like the late 1990s.
Austin's own Gary Clark Jr.
Yeah, man.
Is our one emergency music bed, which we're having to utilize right now because all systems are down other than the ability to broadcast over the FM AM frequency. So
old
make
school.
Sure to tune in on 104.9 AM 1260, 101.9 FM as well. And hopefully at some point in the near future, the app will be back, the stream will be back, hornfm.com, and some of the other things that we normally have access to, including our own internet usage,
yes,
will come back because that makes for a slightly more challenging show, if you will.
No doubt. I still am trying to work on my Jew Year's resolutions, right? The Jewish New Year was last week, and tomorrow will be Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. I'm trying to figure some stuff out. Trey, yesterday I was looking online. I want a phone without internet on it. I'm tired of staring at my phone all the time. I want to get rid of it. I don't want to get rid of like all social media and stuff. I still want to have internet access. I want to like completely unplug from the world, number one, because it's just a bad idea, and especially with this job, shouldn't be doing anything like that. But I'm staring at this thing too much, man. Like I can't wake up. I can't get out of bed without looking at my phone for 10, 15 minutes. every morning. And some days it's even, like weekends, it's even longer than that. When I don't have a reason to get out of bed right away, I will just stare at this thing. I will start watching shows.
Yep.
I will look at highlights. I will look at Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat. I'll check my mail. And I'll end up running through like 30% of my phone's battery before I even leave bed. That cannot happen. So I was like, I gotta look. I don't know if they even sell phones like that anymore.
No, they do.
They do sell phones without sell cell phones without internet access. That's still a thing.
They do that, yes. And let me just offer a suggestion to you. Even if you keep the cell phone that offers the ability to look at certain things, deleting certain apps is a huge benefit.
Yeah.
So I did that with Twitter. I deleted Twitter off of my phone like a month ago. Now I've had to add it intermittently for some of the things that we do on game days for home games, but I really don't have Twitter on my phone during the week. My usage has gone way down, and I'm not staring at this damn screen nearly as much anymore. There's also something else you can do where you can set your phone to go black and white mode, and research has shown that leaves you less inclined to actually want to stare at the phone for whatever reason. So that's another strategy that you can use, or you can just take the internet off your phone altogether.
Does it replace my wallpaper with a picture of your four-year-old daughter in black and white also?
Well, the picture of my daughter in black and white is staying on the phone for the foreseeable future.
That doesn't come on my phone, though, when I use the black and white mode.
I can send you that picture, assuming that you're not picking your phone up and looking at it early in the morning.
I haven't asked you this yet, but I need to borrow your kids.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
Okay.
For trick-or-treating. So I'm trying to get some free candy, and like I can't go. I'm too old. I tried that a couple of years ago when I was in college, and the people didn't like me knocking on their door asking trick-or-treat.
They're for rent under parental supervision. So as long as Justine or I is around and able to see everything that's going on,
what,
kind
worried?
Of in the background.
I'll take care of them.
Not as worried with you, but if we're going to rent them out to strangers, we have to make sure that the intentions are pure.
Oh, you think I'm going to like re-rent them, like upcharge what you guys are charging me to rent your kids?
Not until now, I wasn't.
Shoot, I wasn't either, but now I'm thinking about it. You can borrow some kids out there,
hey,
man.
Speaking of, Dylan, do you know where the Brad Kellner's Parental Advice of the Week hotkey is?
No, but I can find it.
Please do find that. Let me know when you do, because we have the latest installment of that
boy.
To get to.
All right, what should we do first? We're making Dylan do a few things. Should we do the Where Are We At in Society?
Let's do Where Are We At in Society. We can have Dylan look that up in the meantime, because I have a pretty good one for you today.
Where Are We At in Society today?
This segment brought to you by Student Loan Payment Lawn Care. Call or text Jake today for a free estimate, 512-653-0687. First-time clients receive 25% off their visit. SLPLawnCare.com for more details.
I need to see if Jake is going to the game this weekend. He's a TCU alum. He was up in the DFW area this weekend rooting for the Horned Frogs against Ohio State. Of course, they came up a little bit short there, but they're looking really good right now. I'm guessing he's going to be at the game this weekend. Regardless of whether or not he's at the game, make sure to give Jake an SLP Lawn Care a call. We're on their schedule now. We get a lawn mowed every couple weeks. It sounds like BK and maybe even Bucky are considering giving Jake a call as well. Why don't you climb on board too? 25% off that first-time service, and it is well worth it. They do an excellent job, whether it's just the lawn. They can do the bushes as well. Go to slplawncare.com to schedule an appointment or to find out more.
I'm sending the text as we speak to Jake from State Farm, Jake from SLPLawnCare.com. I'm about to send the text. All this rain just ruined the lawn. I got to get that taken care of.
Okay, BK, were you a Sesame Street watcher back in the day?
I was.
Okay.
I was as a young kid, for sure. I think it was popular when I was growing up.
You maybe watched it a little bit, too, when your youngest sister, who's significantly younger than you and your other sisters, was in the, 2 to 4-year-old range, because I find myself watching Sesame Street from time to time now, because I have kids who actually enjoy that show,
sure,
right?
Sure, decent programming, right?
Well, it's been long suspected that Bert and Ernie from Sesame Street are possibly a gay couple, right? It's not a stretch. They live together.
Has that been suspected?
It's been suspected for a long time. They live together in that basement apartment on 123 Sesame Street. And even though they slept in different beds, they just have that rapport that you wonder if they're in some sort of relationship that goes beyond the strictly platonic thing that a lot of friendships have.
Yeah, they did spend a lot of time together. And like only together. Nobody else was ever with those two. And they lived in a basement together.
Just the two of them.
Ooh, I never thought about this when I was a kid, but I'm thinking about it now. Ernie taking baths with the rubber ducky with Bert right there, just kind of hanging out in the bathroom.
Yeah, that's a weird bit. They're awfully Chuck Berry of them.
Seems like that's a place where plays can be made, if assuming both men or puppets, as it were, wanted that to happen.
Not that there's anything wrong with
nothing
that.
Nothing wrong with
it's
it.
It's a little weird.
After decades of speculation,
with the puppets, of course,
one of the show's writers has lifted the lid on its most famous and beloved characters. Mark Saltzman revealed he indeed did write Bert and Ernie as a gay couple. He told a website, this is the website's name, this is not me saying or doing anything, Queerty, the characters reflected his own same-sex relationship with film editor Arnold Glassman at the time. Now, the news has been a long time coming for many in the LGBT community who see Bert and Ernie as gay icons. After same-sex marriage was legalized in New York, fans of the show set up a petition asking the show's creators to have Bert and Ernie actually get married on screen. Sesame Street was then forced to respond that the characters were, quote, best friends and were created to teach preschoolers that people can be good friends even if they have a very different characteristics from one another. And they also added, even though they are identified as male characters and possess many human traits and characteristics, they remain puppets and do not have a sexual orientation. This is from Sesame Street's official comments there.
There's no banging in Sesame Street like in any of the episodes.
I'm glad you bring this up because there are some other, well, not for that reason, but there are other theories out there about sexual orientation of some of the other characters. A lot of people feel like Big Bird is a lesbian. I could see that.
Big Bird?
Big Bird.
Isn't he a dude?
Not
what? A dude?
Well,
I was
don't
thinking
know.
The same thing.
It's a bird.
Huh.
I don't know.
Snuffleupagus? Perhaps asexual, and how could you blame him with that trunk? Oscar the Grouch? Pansexual?
Oh,
doesn't that make
like
sense?
Banging the pan of the garage, or the garage, the garbage can?
Always in the garbage can. Always looking for things in the garbage can that he can have relationships with. And then, of course, the Count, in all likelihood, is a necrophiliac.
Wow. Where'd you get this from? This is all in the article?
No, the last part was totally made up, but
the
previous part was from the Daily Mirror.
I'm done. Tip
Thank
of the
you.
Cap,
Thank
sir.
You.
So Ernie and Bert are not gay, is what we...
They are.
They are gay. I thought they were best friends.
Best friends? Well, Sesame Street tried to say they're just best friends.
So it was just one writer who called them gay, though, but what the about
guy
the
who,
other writers?
The guy who created them said that he wrote that relationship as a parallel to a relationship he was having with his boyfriend at the time.
Interesting bit.
And apparently they slept in separate beds like a married couple who've been together for 50 plus years.
Watched each other take baths. Yeah, I don't like this a whole lot. I don't like this Saltzman guy.
Makes you wonder if that rubber ducky was being used in other ways, too.
Oof. Yeah, be on the lookout for this Saltzman cat. Something bad is about to come out about him, maybe, and he was just trying to save face by doing something like this.
Oh, you may be right about
you
that.
Know?
He's a member of the tribe.
All right, well, I'm for it, whatever it is.
He's a member of the tribe.
Sounds awfully Jewish. Awfully Jewish. Might have some sins to atone for. All right.
I think we do have the soundbite for Brad Kellner's parental advice of the week. So why don't we go ahead and fire off the shooting the bull bed here, because Brad Kellner's parental advice of the week is going to be a part of that.
Shooting the Bull.
Shooting the Bull is sponsored by Audio Visual Consultations. Go to abconsultations.com. Check out everything that Audio Visual Consultations can do for you. It goes beyond the 4 TV setup that BK has in his place. It goes beyond the TV mounted to a wall and the excellent surround sound setup I now have in my living room. They can do a variety of things. Automation, surveillance systems. They can do electrical services and lighting control as well. Once you figure out what it is you want for your home or business, then give Tom McKay a call. Tom McKay, Audio Visual Consultations, avconsultations.com. All right, BK, it is time once again for Brad Kellner's Parental Advice of the Week.
Brad Kellner's Parental Advice of the Week, sponsored by Dine Alone.
So my now 4-year-old daughter, Vivian, celebrated a birthday over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And her birthday was Sunday. It was an all-day celebration. Went to the park in the morning. Went to Via 313 that night.
I need to get her a gift. What does she want?
Her grandmother spoils her.
It's 2 days late, but I'm still... I'm going to come through with something. Uncle Brad's got this.
You do the bottle of alcohol bit. Why don't you get a bottle of alcohol for Mom and Dad?
Okay, I might do that.
So, between park and pizza, Mom and Dad had to get cleaned up for the day.
And the kids just kind of hang around when they're in the bathroom. We're in our master bathroom. Sometimes they're in the bedroom. Sometimes they're in the bathroom kicking around. And I realize that my daughter is now 4 years old. And I'm not going to say regularly naked around her, but I'm naked around her occasionally when I'm responsible for watching them and I'm having to take a shower. What is the age where that is no longer acceptable for me to do?
Did you have like...
I don't even have a smart-ass answer on this one. I'm genuinely curious to know what you and everybody else thinks, assuming we ever get the Specs text line back.
How about that? Did you have like a moment or something where she asked about something this weekend or at all recently?
No, she knows that boys have a certain body part and girls have the other body part. Mom, who is a medical professional, taught her and taught Calvin that pretty early on.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'd probably stop it if I were you by now.
Probably the stopping point.
It's like a scarring experience for a little kid. Now you're at the point, I think I don't remember exactly when I started remembering things, but I feel like four, it might be pushing the limits for
you're right about that.
When you start to remember stuff for more than 2 minutes.
Dylan, any opinion on this one?
We're saying 5 max in here.
Okay.
5 max.
All right, I got another year.
I feel like I would just try hard to avoid that like from the jump.
Like, maybe if I'm in the shower, it's one thing. If she's kind of looking through the stained glass or whatever, but making sure to have the towel as soon as I'm coming out of the shower. Okay, that makes sense. I like that.
That's probably what I would do.
Really good advice.
From birth.
Really good advice for a guy who plans on dying alone. Thank you for that.
Thank you. How about this story real quick, Trey? We had an apology issued. This is almost a Where Are We At in Society story today. But it's always an interesting conversation when a team runs up the score. People get offended now. If you beat somebody by too many points, by too many runs, people get upset. Usually it's Pop Warner, Pee Wee level. Occasionally it'll get to middle school and the occasional high school story. Rarely do you see it in college football.
Mm-hmm.
Division I college football. South Dakota State, FCS Division I.
Okay.
They had to apologize. Their head football coach, John Stiegelmeyer, says he regrets allowing his team to pile up 90 points against Arkansas Pine Bluff.
90.
Can you give me either of those mascots, first and foremost? South Dakota State or Ark Pine Bluff?
Ark Pine Bluff, the Banjoists?
The Banjoists?
Yeah.
No, it's not that.
What was the first team?
South Dakota State. That's one you should know.
South Dakota State is the Sioux, right?
No, that's
Sioux Indians?
North Dakota fighting Sioux, or South Dakota fighting Sioux. They're
so
both
close.
The same. South Dakota State
the Monuments.
The Jackrabbits.
Oh.
Arkansas Pine Bluff, the Golden Lions.
Golden Lions?
Yep. Like, as if the gold part was not implied.
You think they have lions and zoos in Arkansas? That's ridiculous.
Well, they won 90-6 on Saturday night over Ark Pine Bluff. They set a school record for points. How about this? 926 yards of total offense, just shy of a football championship subdivision record, the FCS.
Jeez.
Stiegelmeyer. In remarks after the game, said he was excited about the win but disappointed in how he managed the game. Eventually issued a public apology, said his team should have slowed down and taken out all passing plays.
They were still passing the football?
They're still throwing the football.
Like, I understand the whole idea that if you don't want it to happen, then stop it. But things do get to a certain point where you need to recognize that there is a clear disparity and you need to let up off the gas.
Disagree.
Just a little bit.
Hey, Arkansas Pine Bluff. Hey, Golden Lions. Play some defense. Don't give up 90. Come on. No, come on. I'm not letting them off the hook for this. No need to apologize. 90-6. It's a 60-minute football game. They scored 90. You only scored 6.
There is sportsmanship that comes into play,
no,
man.
No, there's not.
Yes,
it's not
there
intramurals.
Is.
They don't grade you on sportsmanship.
No,
you're
but
fine.
It's not a graded bit, but it's one of those unwritten things that you show enough sportsmanship to understand when the game is in hand, you're not throwing deep balls anymore.
What is this, baseball? So next time these two teams play, Ark Pine Bluff is going to be pegging footballs at South Dakota State D linemen?
It's not baseball. It's basic human decency, and yes, they may
I
be
don't
going,
have that.
They may be going for some knees the next time.
Yeah, ooh.
I know.
I'm still cool with it.
Yeah, I mean, they just lost 90-6, so the likelihood that they're actually hitting their targets, not very good.
I think Kansas could beat one of those two teams.
Kansas, by the way, they're on a roll, man. That defense is a turnover machine.
Baylor coming up. People are picking Kansas to win a Big 12 game. That's a mistake.
Who do you think wins?
Not Kansas.
Okay.
All right, we're taking a break. One segment to go, a little crosstalk with Rod Babers next. It's Midday with Trey and BK. This is The Horn. We'll be right back.
It is hour number three of midday, which is
hour number 2.8.
Got my false hopes up there for just a second that we actually got the third hour back and we could do with it what we will. But sadly, that is not the case right now. We're actually dealing with some technical issues on this side based on the power outage going on along Bee Caves Road west of 360 right now. A truck knocked a power line down, caused all sorts of issues with traffic this morning. Also, a ton of electricity and internet outage, and that has affected our building here off of Lost Creek and 360 Road. Haven't had the internet most of the show. Haven't had access to phone calls. That's why we're having to push back our Ari Temkin conversation. Hopefully we can chat with him later in the week about the Dallas Cowboys, but we may do, BK.
It is what it is, player. Nothing you can do about technology. Sometimes it doesn't work, but we appreciate you guys being a part of the show. Those of you folks able to tune in on the radio, 104.9 AM, 1260, 101.9, and hopefully we'll get this stream back up and running again. I guess we're doing a little crosstalk. No Rod Babers in the building yet, so we'll talk across the table. But hey, this segment is sponsored. It's brought to you by Paul's Motorworks, located at 620 and 2222. Place to go to get your oil changed, to get your car taken care of. I take my car there. Bucky goes there as well, out to Paul's. And understand, man, sometimes those mechanics can be a little iffy. Right? You're not entirely sure who you're trusting to work on your car. Paul's a good dude, man. He's been operating since 2000 at that location. The guy who listens to the station all of the time. Him and his crew will take care of you, and they will take care of your car. Paul's Motorworks, go check them out. How do you want to wrap up today's show, Trey? Any football you want to get to? Any Texas Longhorn conversation you want to get to? What's on your mind?
Real quick, before we get to the sports, I'm just curious to know if you have settled on what the burger option you're going with today. It's National Cheeseburger Day. This is your last meal before you have to fast for 24 hours. A lot of people have said Dirty Martin's. A couple more folks said Dan's before we lost access to the Specs text line. Have any of those opinions swayed you?
I got to figure out. I'd like to get two more meals in. Services start at 7 o'clock. Tonight, so my last consumption of food probably will be around 6:30.
I feel like you got to go Hayes City Store because you're so close.
It's so far.
Well, it's close to here, though, isn't it?
It's still like 30-40 minutes from here. Yeah, it's a trek.
Okay,
it's a trek down to Hayes, wherever that thing is.
Now, Rod Babers is in studio. I don't imagine that Rod is a big burgers guy at this point in his life. He eats a little bit healthier like I do. In Rod's case, it is because of his girlfriend. For me, it's just the fact that I have the diet of a rabbit. Rod, do you eat much in the way of hamburgers or cheeseburgers in 2018?
Yeah, I'm American. What do you mean? Of course I love cheeseburgers.
Right.
What do you
That's
mean?
A great answer.
When was the last time you had a cheeseburger?
I like boobs. I like boobs. I like cheeseburgers.
When was the last time you had a cheeseburger?
Probably last week.
Okay. Where's your spot?
I went to Mighty Fine. I live mighty close to a Mighty Fine off of Brody right there. So, yeah, I go to Mighty Fine often. Mighty Fine's pretty damn good.
It's a good spot.
So you're a cheeseburger over a hamburger guy.
Oh, yeah. Who eats a hamburger? Are you a sociopath?
That's right.
You got to put cheese on it. You and Chris Sims. Chris Sims would often get burgers with no cheese.
I've been told more than once in my life that I look like Chris Sims, so I'm taking that as another compliment. Also said that my freshman, sophomore, junior year decision-making was similar to Chris Sims as well. I'm taking that as a compliment as well. Look, I told it to BK earlier, Rod. Cheese is the cheat code for just about any food. So you can put cheese on a burger. The rest of the burger could be garbage, but you're still going to be okay with that because the cheese is on it.
For me,
it's more about being able to understand and recognize everything else going on the burger that makes it good or not so good.
Bacon, also a cheat code.
Bacon, total cheat code.
Big cheat code in food.
What's wrong with using cheat codes, man? It's not Roger Goodell. We're not testing for performance-enhancing substances.
Just barbecue sauce. Yeah, so you're right. We're right about that. I like that cheat code theory.
Rod, some of the big news yesterday from the Tom Herman press conference, the injury to Malcolm Roach is going to be out 6 to 8 weeks with that fractured foot. That's a big loss, man. You think this Texas defense, which really showed out, right? They got off to a bad start against USC, gave up long touchdown drives on two of the first three Trojan drives on Saturday, but locked it down. The -5 rushing yards, they were money.
Yeah.
You think they can be successful going into conference play without Malcolm Roach?
It's going to be tough because also, remember, they don't have B.J. Foster for the start of the first half of that TCU game, too. So it'll be interesting to see how they utilize the personnel packages with the losses of two of their, or at least early on for B.J. Foster, their premier guys. I think, you know, you're going to really feel that loss versus K-State. you know, a guy in the front seven that's very multiple. And, you know, K-State likes to do a lot of things.
Great
and they
point.
Got dual threat quarterbacks and two of them, and they want to run. They want to pound the rock. TCU, you're not going to miss much because TCU's got a lot of speed on the field. You're going to be a nickel and dime even a lot of the times versus TCU. You're going to have to.
Hopefully you're showing up to the TCU game this weekend. If so, you're likely going to be tailgating beforehand. If you're doing so, make sure to supply your tailgate with HEB tailgating products because I will be out and about with the HEB tailgating crew prior to the TCU game, just like I was before the USC game, also the Tulsa game. Looking for the tailgate with the most HEB brand products. If we pick you, you get your picture up and a video on the Jumbotron during the game. More importantly, you win $500 good towards HEB. It's as easy as going out, having a good time with the tailgate. With all those HEB products, make sure they are displayed so that we can see them if and when we drive by your tailgate around DKR before the TCU game this Saturday.
God, such a huge game. Such a huge game on Saturday, man.
It's big, baby. The purple kryptonite.
The fact that TCU has owned this, I'm calling it a rivalry over the past 4 years.
Oh, man, that's terrible. You should not call that a rivalry.
No, if Texas doesn't treat this as a rivalry, if Texas doesn't, that is fair. If Texas doesn't treat this like a rivalry, it'll be exactly like what happened with Texas Tech and A&M back in the late 90s and 2000s, that Tech owned them a lot of the time because A&M did not respect the series.
If Texas is a rival, then Oklahoma State's a rival, too. And then throw them in the mix. Everybody's a rival.
Mm-mm. Kansas! Not a rival.
Recently.
No, when you're the Longhorns, that target is on your back like you're the rivals.
That is true. Amen.
All right, we're out of time. Thanks to all of you for texting and listening throughout the program. Rodcast coming up 1 to 3. Chad and Kevin, 3 to 7. Thanks to all of you as well. Thanks to Dylan Fry across the glass for producing the show and for Wags today for the fantasy. I don't know what I'm talking about. The communist terrible take, Trey. I'm off the rails. I'm BK. I'll be back on Thursday. Trey will be back tomorrow. Until then, let bygones be bygones. You can go and get the hell on. You and your mama. We out of here.